see what kind of message I can pull out in 20 minutes or so. A while back, I read something, and it kind of started me thinking. I really enjoyed the saying, and the saying goes like this: "You cannot truly call yourself peaceful unless you're capable of great violence. If you're not capable of violence, you're not peaceful. You are harmless." It's an important distinction. We come into the celebration. We call this the season of peace. The angels declared in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." We've had world wars. We've had genocides. We've had people beheaded for their belief, fed to beasts. We've had people so mistreated within the body of Christ because they dared to think a little different. We're all different. You might see one thing and I see another. I see, by the way, this saying, some of you may have seen it as well, is by Jocko Willink. I had to trace that back, but he was a former Navy SEAL team leader. And so he knows about great violence. See what you don't know about our God? See, I see the military side. I see the man of war that God can be. I understand that there are consequences to obeying him and consequences for disobeying him. People just want to see, well, if your God is a God of peace, why is there all of this? Because we're also creatures of free will. We're allowed to do what we want to do, right or wrong. If I tell you not to stick a finger in that electrical socket and you still do it, who's at fault? Well, you're a violent man. You didn't stop me. I told you not to. I told you what was going to happen. So I understand what Jocko was saying. And as I started studying this and reading about the peace, because I'm like, God, this is kind of a weird Christmas message. The angels, you know, we always see the glorious, the angels singing peace on earth, goodwill. Put yourself in the shoes of the shepherds. They darn near messed themselves. It's dark out there. There's no city lights shining that they can. They're just there, and all of a sudden, ah, the heavens open up, and there's these people. And I don't know what they sounded like. Did they sound like some of the things we see in our sci-fi movies? Was it a thundering boom? I don't know. I just know they were terrified. What a way to bring peace. Through terror, right? But you have to understand what they were truly saying. I'm going to point out some things. I'm going to try to get through this. Luke 1, verse 67, Zacharias has been struck mute because he said, no, we don't know anybody named John. Ain't nobody in our family. And God said, oh yeah, you ain't going to talk again for a while. Zacharias came to his mind. Right, mind. He said, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare the ways. He's talking about John the Baptist right here. John the Baptist would go before him. The disciples asked, isn't Elijah going to do this? The spirit of Elijah was upon John the Baptist. And he went and prepared the way of the Lord before the people. He told them, turn your hearts. He went to the religious. He went to the people who needed to get fixed first. That's why he said, I came to Israel first. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, which with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to give guide into the way of peace. In the New Testament, unless you're told to keep your peace, the word peace is the exact same word all the way through. Strong's 15:15. And it's a general, and it's actually Irene's. It's a feminine word. So if you know anybody named Irene, their name means peace. Because it is actually Greek. But it's in general, it's general peace. Health, welfare, prosperity, every kind of good you can think of is what those angels were declaring over the earth right then. It's what was prophesied of Jesus, that he would show us the way of peace. Again, we look around. The war to end all wars. A couple years later, we're in a bigger one. Then we get Korea. Then Vietnam. And in between all that, we have this thing called a Cold War. Where's the peace? That's not the peace he promised us. He said these things were going to happen. Peace on earth, goodwill towards man. God only wanted one good thing for all of us. Those angels stood up there and they declared, God wants good for you. People cannot see the goodness of God because they look back and say, well, if God's a good God, why did the Jews all get killed? Because Hitler was evil and nobody stood up to him. If God is good, why did my mama die? Don't know, but God didn't kill her. Just like God had nothing to do with Justin. He didn't do that. Webster states that peace is a state of tranquility, quiet, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Okay, so no outside forces is disturbing me. The first thing we have to remember is we are first a spirit. We have a body. And our spirit is what got marred. The flesh dies. It's gone. But our spirit will live on forever. In Luke 12:51, some of you may know your Bible are saying, but I think I've heard a scripture that says something contrary. I've already read that one. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. He was going to bring peace and show us the way to peace. But first, he was going to show us that the way we wanted to live, the way of the law, was not the way. You can't live by law. Again, I've used this example. If she has to love me by law, that's not love. That's servanthood. That's indentured servanthood. She owes me. But I believe she loves me on her own free will. So Jesus did not come to give us that peace. The same thing. Not yet. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Jesus came preaching peace. He said, I will give peace to the brokenhearted, right? All of us in here are brokenhearted. Some of us more so than others. We just hide it under everything else. We're trying to mask it. I'll just so indulge myself over here so much nobody will ever know it. Well, the world has come up with some of these new terminologies, and they're actually very real. One of them is toxic masculinity. I see in my Bible several times Jesus wept. I see in the Bible where Jesus is telling the story of a son who comes back to his father, and the father cries. That's not what we're taught, is it? Real men don't cry. I consider myself a real man, and you want to prove otherwise? Here's the floor. Because I promise, I give you peace. But just understand, don't ever tell me I'm less of a man because I don't think the same way you do. I like short pants. There, I said it. I heard a preacher say, you're not much of a man if you're wearing short pants. What does the length of my trousers have to do with my love of God? What does it have to do with me being a man? I joined the Marines, and you know how short the shorts are? They're short, man. I mean, the upper part's really high, but the legs are really, really short. After I realized how short, I was like, dude, boxer shorts are deeper than these. Say what? But he came to preach, they're preaching peace through Christ. Now in Isaiah 57:19, says this is a prophecy long before Jesus. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. He came to heal us. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay? For he, in Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments. Remember, law, legalism. Without Christ, you have a camera mounted on a pole waiting for you, and there is no remission of sin. That's all there is to it. They sent it to me, by the way. I was driving. But it's her car. My tags. But what if she had been driving? I got the ticket. Where's the justice in that? She wouldn't have been speeding. You know why? Because she was asleep. Thus, the contained in ordinance as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. He took the law, he took forgiveness, and he brought them together, and he's creating one man. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. This is Paul telling the Ephesians something that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, that he's going to preach you peace. He's going to bring you peace. But where's the peace come from, Pastor? I mean, I'm still stressed out. I'm still all this. Well, until you understand where your peace, your source of peace really comes from, you're never going to find peace in that stuff. Keep moving. For though through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. John 16:30. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Seriously? You're just now believing? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I want to remind people, when you feel alone, you're not alone. The Father is with you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't get mad at you. Do you know that? He's not mad at you for what you thought, what you said, what you did. He is not mad. Parents, we get a little aggravated with our children, don't we? When you think you're just about to pull your hair out, they go and do something that made that look really nothing. And then you don't know what to do anymore. The only thing you can do is love your children. And sometimes you have to let them take their knocks. That's how I learned. Keep walking into something, eventually you'll figure out the duck. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. He promised us. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles. Your car's going to break down on the highway. You're going to go overdrawn in your bank account. You're going to get the sniffles. Death is going to come to your household. Anything you can think of will come. And he said, these things I've told you so that you can have peace. One, the Father. The point of Jesus coming, the point of the Holy Spirit coming, was to lead us back to the Father, the source of all of our peace. God is capable of great violence. If you think I'm kidding, go back and read the Old Testament again. It's a little woo. But honestly, when you read what some of those people did, there's justification. People offering you peace today, oh, I come in peace, I come in peace. So, how can you hurt me? Oh, I wouldn't hurt a fly. Then you're not offering me peace because you can't do anything to me. Now, if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Terminator, I think you could hurt me. But if you're Pee Wee Herman, you're not offering me peace because there's nothing you can do to me. And that's why he said that. That's why Jocko said that. Because you're not offering me peace. You can't do anything for me. But God declared through his angels to all the earth, peace. I want peace. And I'm making the peace. They already knew. That's what people that oppose the Bible, they do. They grab the Bible. Look in the Old Testament. Just look up. Look at the Old Testament. Look. The flood. Got all this death. Death. All of it was because of people's decisions. They rejected God. And so there's always been turmoil. Before you found Christ, your sins, whether you recognized it or not or knew it, were weighing on you. Because even though you may not think you're carrying the load, you are carrying it. Because what happens is over time, you carry more and more. And you just don't realize it until you get rid of it. And then you're like, wow. After a 12-mile march, you know, when you put that pack on, it didn't feel so bad. You know, it was only 75 pounds with all your crap on. And then you get to the end of it and you just hit those releases and it falls off. You're like, oh, I feel so light and airy now. That's what happens with the remission of our sins. When you repent, Jesus said, now, let me take that off of you. And you drop it. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I.e., what's going on in Israel? What's going on in Ukraine? Everything that's going on in D.C., New York, California, Columbus, downtown. He's overcome all those problems. Oh, but I'm just still worried. Quit worrying. I'm telling you, that is a sin. That is one that nobody wants to throw up there. It is a flat-out sin. He said, do not worry. Oh, but it's not one of the Ten Commandments. Did he really have to come in and say that? And the New Testament says, don't worry. Art, don't worry that you're not 6 foot. It's going to benefit you in the end. And it has. You know how many times I haven't had to duck? John 14:27, peace I leave you. Now here is something else. He said, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. His peace. What is his peace? His peace was the revelation of the Father. He had something no person on the planet had had since Adam. Can you imagine being in Adam's shoes to have that kind of relationship with God? And then you just go and mess it all up. The best thing that ever happened to you. And you didn't realize it. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. See, if the world is giving you something, the world can take it, right? That's the problem with the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have the power. He will be a violent government leader. Violence. Who can stand against the beast? He will offer Israel 7-year peace accord. Halfway through it, he will break it. Why? Because it's the peace the world gets. They can give it. But see, the peace that we can get through Christ has nothing to do with our outward situations. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, here's something that's interesting. I don't think it was any mistake that God prophesied through the Holy Spirit, through Zacharias. He talked about the remission of sins, that John the Baptist would preach about the remission of sin, and then to turn around and preach about Jesus and prophesy about Jesus Christ and say he will lead you to the path of peace. And then Jesus turned around and he said, now I leave my peace with you. The word leave is the same word that is used in Matthew when it said, and he gave up the ghost. That's where your peace comes from. The disciples did not have that. Your peace comes in the remission of your sins. That you're not held in chains to them anymore. Your past is past. Leave it in the past. That's a hard thing to do. I'm not going to lie. It really is, because we look back. Well, it's made me who I am. Every last one of us, it has. You are who you are because of things in your past. Good, bad, or indifferent. But all of it you have to leave in the past and move forward. And knowing that I'm forgiven. The things I did, I'm forgiven. And the things that were done to me, I forgive. So when we start forgiving, we can start holding on to that peace. The quickest thing to steal your peace is to start holding people in bitterness and unforgiveness, because it festers and it removes your peace. And when you have that real peace, you have real joy. And I'm not talking about the pothead kind of peace and joy. Hey, man, we want peace. You can't offer me peace because you can't hurt me. And peace is not brought by drugs. The only way you're going to get that kind of peace is to finally quit dragging up your past. Your doubts, leave the doubts in the back. God wants to show you who he is, and until you trust him, he's not going to show you another thing. I tell you that of personal experience. It's been 32 years, right? No. Almost 33 years, it's definitely 32, that I gave my heart back to God. And for the first 10, I still felt like a bed bug at the best. Nobody wanted me. It was just disgusting and just leave me in the dark, whatever. But it wasn't until I learned to forgive. When I started forgiving people, things they had said, people who had done things to me, I started forgiving them. And trust me, I had pent-up anger. That's what God has showed me. I had pent-up anger, which could become violent. And I didn't want that. So when I forgave, God started really showing me who he was. And not just through the military connection. I'm like, oh yeah, I get that. Woo-hoo, yeah, praise Jesus, I understand that. He's like, now hang on. Hang on, you know all about rules and regulations and all this stuff and how it's supposed to be done. Hang on, we're going to go for a ride. And I got to know Jesus. And God has taken me on such a trip, seeing him, knowing who he is now, that helps me that whenever the devil tries to bring up my past in my memories. Because you know how I know the devil's doing it? I start losing my peace. Why am I thinking about this? I haven't talked to that person in 10 years. Why do I want to suddenly bounce their head off the ground a few times? Why? Because the devil is taking my peace by bringing back a sin, a hurt. And I'm now starting to unforgive them. Unforgive, forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their sins, that you won't, your sins won't be forgiven. Your peace is going to come when you start forgiving those people. So here's your challenge. Examine your own life. Don't look at anybody else's life. That's not your job. And it's only my job when God tells me to get involved. Because God wants to show you who he is, personally. Ask him, Lord, where? Who is it that I think I've forgiven and I haven't? And if you can go down through the line of people that have done things to you, said things to you, hurt you, whatever, and you don't sit on one for an hour and you fume and you start letting that fire get hotter and hotter, and then you go find your death metal. That's where you're hurting. That's what's stealing your joy. That's what's stealing your peace. Because the devil can't take it, but you can give it to him. You can flat out give it to him. He has no authority over you as a believer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Everybody wants to know, what will the end of the, even the disciples, what will be the sign of your coming? Jesus was, in my opinion, was so vague on this. He's like, it's not that important. It's more important that you live every day like I'm coming back in the next split second. Today, people still want to know, when's the Antichrist going to rise? I ain't going to lie. I think it's a lot of waste of time to figure out who it is. Whenever it happens, it happens. But to be honest with you, if I'm going to get hit with a truck, I don't want to know it. Personally. I mean, think about the torment. Why are you doing that to yourself? The word says that there is no torment in love, but only in fear. I caught a clip one time of a particular, they call it a reality show. It's not, it's scripted, but I believe it's Sons of Anarchy. And the very last, I believe it's the last scene. I've never watched the show. And the guy's being chased by every cop in the area. And he sees a semi coming. He just gets in the lane and throws his arms back and drives right into the semi. He looks so peaceful because this part is over. I'm peaceful now. And I'm going to be peaceful when I close my eyes for good. I don't want to see KW coming at me. That's torment. There's no torment in that, in God's love. Two people working, boom, one of them's gone. I want to be the one that's gone, not the one that was sitting there. Oh, that ain't the way it was supposed to have happened. The book said this way. They're called fiction for a reason. It's just a story based on scriptures. People thought Jesus was coming back riding on a white horse into Jerusalem too. He came through Bethlehem. In a barn, he's one of the few people that can say, yes, I was born in a barn, so leave the door open. And he's saying, I give you my peace. When he gave up his life, his peace was now available. See, your forgiveness. If your life is just not going the way you think it should, ask God where. Who am I holding in unforgiveness? And I'm just going to tell you this as a personal experience. Sometimes it's just better off to forgive them. Well, I need to confront them. Not every time does that work out the way you think it should. Some days you go back, I asked them to forgive me, and you come back, they bit me. Again. Sometimes you just got to let the rabid dog stay over there, and you know what? I know the dog bites, and if I keep going back to the dog and getting bit, now whose fault is it? Have you never been bit by a dog? Again, it hurts. I've never been bit twice by the same dog. So, the peace that we're supposed to be projecting around the world comes into forgiveness. It came in the form of that baby born in that night in a manger, in a barn, in a town that was evidently so full, and Bethlehem's not a big town, so full that nobody had room. And so he was in that barn with the animals. And then the people that God chose to share what was happening were just right out in the pasture field. And they came. The shepherds came to the good shepherd who would bring us this peace through his death and resurrection. Peace doesn't come by feeling good all the time. Peace doesn't come by not having some anxiety from time to time. Am I going to lose my job? Maybe, maybe not. But who's your provider? Is it Jehovah Jireh? Or is it the Flexible Corporation? I got to walk my walk. I said, Flexible's not my provider. Oh, what's this? I never got a pink slip before. You got laid off at Thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you right now, God will provide. Just as Abraham told Isaac, Isaac's like, Daddy, I see the altar. I see the wood. I see the fire, and I see a knife. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, his faith in God so strong, he said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And as he went through and was about to slay his son, God said, stop. I know you fear me. God had a different plan. God provided then, God provided at that point, and God has provided for now. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what CBS, NBC, and ABC say, God's still a man of his word. All right, let's stand. I don't have to remind you, but I will. This week, be kind. There's enough jerks in the world. People in the restaurants don't need you being a jerk and wearing your Jesus shirt. The people who are in the stores, half of them are seasonal. They don't even know who owns the company yet. Be merciful. But they're out of what I got. They're going to be out of everything. They're actually trying to get us to go online. I can find stuff online that I can't find in the store. Oh, yeah, we got tons of them. Why aren't they in the store? I need it now. But be merciful. Show God's love to people this year. So that in the new year they can say, you know what, I remember that guy with the Grinch face shirt. He was kind to me. I think I like him. They might remember you the next time you're at the restaurant. Oh, I remember this guy. He was the Grinch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for the gift of your Son that you chose to send to this earth. And Lord, we thank you for that birth. And as we celebrate it this coming season, Father, may we always remember in our hearts what it actually cost. Father, I ask for all of us that you move in our lives. You show us, Lord, who we're holding in unforgiveness or whom we're holding, all those people. Or maybe we're holding on to some words somebody said that we believed that aren't true. Lord God, help us to identify, to forgive that. Father, give us wisdom in dealing with this. Father, I pray that you move mightily in your people. Father, go before them this week. Help them to love the unlovable. Give them the mercy that they give. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for healing them. I thank you for restoration of strength. Lord, I thank you right now that many of these came out today. I bless them, Father. As they go about this week, Lord, I pray that you will lead them on the paths of righteousness, the paths that you make straight for them. Father, bless their fellowships this week. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.